approval of both July 13th and July 20th.
I'll make a motion we approve it.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes of July 13th and July 20th as submitted. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Minutes are approved. Let's move into the next section of activity for us, and that's the final vote. First proposal under consideration is Appleseed Christian Academy. And the representative, if you'd please come forward, and we may have some questions for you. And the kind of the hot seat is behind the speaker, so you can kind of sit there and be ready for questions if we have some.
Ms. Kleinfelder, okay. I've laid on your desk there that easement so that you can see it.
Because the issue here for their benefit was the resolution of the easement problem
and the road back in there. Mr. Creedon did bring in the easement. It does plat out to access the property and everything. I just wanted to let you see that.
This easement here starts where the road easement stops now and does go up and accesses the property there.
Okay. And Mr. Cox, we have that in written form.
Ms. Kleinfelder's holding that, yes.
Okay, we have documentation for that. Mm-hmm. We also are okay on the number of spaces for parking?
Yes, sir, we are.
In compliance?
Mm-hmm. And again, let me refresh you. This was K through 9 grades, 30 students, limit to no more than 30 students.
K through 6, I believe.
K through 6.
K through 6. I'm sorry, what did I say, 9?
9.
Okay. So 30 students, don't do preteens. 30 students, and that's a limitation that is fine with you?
Yes.
Okay.
30 max?
Yes.
Madam Chairman, you may make a motion?
Yes, you may.
I would like to make a motion that we approve Appleseed with the documentation we now have with the easements and also with the 30 on the limit as far as the decision of record for this space. I feel that it's adequate.
30 students?
Yes.
Okay, is there a second to Mr. Bronner's motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Is there further discussion?
I have. Would there ever be the consideration of a turning lane? I'm kind of looking down at you. A turning lane off of 76 onto Walkington coming from, like I said, be from the east side. Is that something that's ever even been?
I can't speak for MoDOT. Yeah. I've attended a few of their future roads or needs assessment meetings, and I have not seen that one on the books anywhere.
Okay. Because that's a concern. You can't fix that. But
my understanding is that the Branson Public Schools use Walkington with their school buses every day. That's how they access part of Spring Meadows.
Okay, because there's a main entrance to Spring Meadows,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. And they go down to North Fork.
Yeah, okay.
From Walkington.
That is a bad intersection.
That still doesn't make it safe, but I understand what you're saying.
Okay, any other questions or discussion? We'll call the question. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Ms. McGinnis, you have Appleseed Christian Academy.
Thank you.
Okay. Call our office tomorrow. Yeah. I'll tell you, we've got a decision of record that has to be filed and some paperwork that has to be done. We'll need to make sure that your parking spaces are clearly marked, that kind of thing like that, and then we'll issue a CFC to you, and then you can take occupancy and get it. As far as preparing it and everything, you can do that now. So, but yeah, just give us a call tomorrow, and we'll tell you when everything will be ready.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Moving along to Northview Heights, subdivision of Lot 1. Is that gentleman here, please? We're looking for Mr. Hallbrook.
Anyone representing?
Anybody that's representing Mr. Hallbrook?
Well,
I guess that made that one fast. We will call him and tell him he'll need to show up next month.
Yeah.
Okay, so do we formally need to table this, or does that just automatically happen?
I don't think we take any action if there's not a representative here.
Okay.
Because we have, what, 90 days of the final decision or 60?
We still have questions on the final vote.
What's that?
We still have to ask questions. We're not satisfied.
And I think the issue with Mr. Holbrook was just whether or not that system had been disabled or not to say that we couldn't approve that and not sign his plat until he brings us proof or something like that. But normally without a representative, we don't vote or anything.
But we don't have an answer.
Let's move on then to Canopy Tour. Again, remember this is zip lining on 33 acres. Is that correct?
Madam Chairman, we do have received today an updated plat of the area. This would be that particular plat showing the one parking lot here. The one with the hash marks in it will be future additional parking. The building right down here, I don't have my pointer, I do that, is a 5,000 square foot. Am I correct on that, Dan? 5,000 square foot. I guess their staging area, gift shop, that kind of thing. And then this would be the, was it 4,000?
4,000.
Full barn, yeah.
Where they would store their equipment, gators, things like that, and then the position of the poles. Our code book does state, and I that you know we require a 30 foot buffer between commercial and residential. So, and I don't know. Dan, were you able to see what that was?
It looks like 7 and 10.
I have a hard copy for everybody. You might be able to see it.
Yeah. Well, setbacks are 7 and everything like that, but...
No, I mean on here. That's what it looks
okay.
like.
Okay. And I didn't know if you'd be able to see it on that, but where commercial adjoins residential, 30 to 50 feet, so that's something you would want to address there, that be moved in to meet that buffer zone, if that's the case.
And that's basically that eastern line?
Well, you may... Well, anywhere that it adjoins that track there probably needs to be... moved in. Right now, there's nothing out there but residential.
How do you
where it says it is in that? Well, it'd be the northeast corner, but it's if you're viewing that, that's not north going that way.
But you may be reading here. This is telling you this would be the 7 foot setback line. That's what the dotted is. His poles are way inside of that, so he may be fine.
See the triangle up there? I mean, that's where it says 7 foot and 10 foot. I think right there where his arrow is, right there. Right there, 7, and then I think the other one says 10.
Yeah, now this, see, they're right here, this says 7 foot, so the dotted line should be 7 foot from the property line, probably all the way around.
So it's 30.
The back, he's probably got his 10, which is standard.
The pole barn, what's the distance
in
the pole barn?
That's standard, but not for commercial or residential.
Right there.
Well, again, this says
that's 7.
So he would be off of 20. That, but it's just the requirement that it would have to be, you know, on those three sides of that property.
Can you refresh my memory of what's on that side where the pole barn is? Is that the south side of the property?
That is the south side of the property.
There's nothing.
There's
no development.
No, there's nothing here.
It's just thick.
To the east was the subdivision behind there, or the homes behind there. Nothing to the north and south at this particular time. So I'm guessing that is probably zoned as agriculture right at this present time.
Is that 120 feet on the platform height?
Can you go back to that?
Yeah. That was direction.
Up above the shaft, up on the road.
Up above.
Yeah, right there. It's hard to read these numbers.
Yeah, that's approximately 120 feet. So we have a final engineer. We don't know which trees or where the poles will have to be.
Excuse me, sir. Would you please step back?
I don't think so.
We have a 75 foot height restriction. Again, when you're putting up a pole, less than 100 square foot, unless you as a panel put that restriction on there, that it needs to adhere to the height ordinance, we wouldn't require a permit for a pole. And if the depending on the size of the platform that goes on that pole, but yes, 75 foot. And I believe there's some provisions to go higher, but those have not been met at this particular time.
A pole is not necessarily a building structure, is it?
Yeah, that's kind of a stretch.
But now, if they put a platform up on top of it, if they put several poles up and then build a platform, then we would have.
Habitation?
As long as it's 100 square feet or more.
I don't really want to live
Tarzan.
How do you build a buffer for a forest?
You can just do it with distance. With a natural landscape buffer, you can say you have to set 30 feet off of the property line before you construct anything, which is what our code book says. There has to be a buffer between commercial and residential. Sometimes we put up a fence, and then they set 30 feet off of that. There was a couple times when you considered moving 30 feet off of the property line and putting a fence there so that was all left as natural. Or in this case, you may choose to leave it all just as the natural forest and tell them from the property line you drop in 30 feet where you.
Is that what it is, the code?
It says 30 feet.
Natural.
Now, you can bump that, I think, to 50 or 60 at your discretion, but I don't believe more than 60.
Two issues, one of which is a letter from the Missouri Department of Transportation that basically gives an okay. But let me read specifically. It says, we've received a conceptual site plan for the proposed canopy tour development on US 65 near Missouri 176. The Department of Transportation has no objections to the development of this site as proposed and recognizes that the report of the commissioners states that allowance for existing entrance to be widened to 59.06 feet. However, the report does also state that such widening shall be in accordance with a permit issued by the Commission on Application by defendants. Therefore, should the existing driveway be widened or improved to any extent, the developer must submit detailed construction plans back to this office for our review prior to initiating any such improvements. I want to make sure that goes into the record. I also have a letter from the neighbors with a series of signatures dated August 13th, and the letterhead is from Steve and Joyce Beaumont. And again, they're raising the same concerns that we heard in the public hearing. My concern, again, gosh, you are so good, Keith. Gosh.
Keith?
Oh. I'm sorry.
Keith.
Okay.
Which one do you want, this?
Well,
Bam.
That, I'm so glad you put that right up there. Now everybody sees the letter from the Missouri Department of Transportation. But go back to the one that has...
This one?
Yeah. Okay, and I would ask, and your name, please, since I'm not doing well on that.
Matt Cook.
Matt Cook, okay. Explain your plans for that entrance.
At this point, we don't have a whole lot of plans for that entrance. I mean, we're obviously going to work with MoDOT and the amount of parking we have there to find out if they require any improvements done. But we're going to make it as safe and as nice as we can. We don't have a whole lot of plans for the entrance yet.
Okay, and your partner?
I think he might have more information than that.
My name's Daryl Henley. I've spent some time with Andrew Seiler from ODOT. Basically, we're going to widen that to 59 feet to make sure that it's done. Mesa is going to do the engineering for us, and we're going to have that widened before we open. And he said that was fine. Later, if we find that we need more parking or whatever, then we might put an actual right-hand turn lane in there.
Which he said that in the letter.
And he said that, you know, that's fine too, as long as we have it engineered and we'll work with them on it. So we're going to it's called a development review process that we're kind of in, but I think this actually, when he sent this letter, he said, we're okay right now. Next up, if we go ahead and we want to put more parking in or whatever, we'll talk to him about putting a right-hand turn lane in right there.
And you certainly would control exiting, that people could turn to the right. I mean, they only could turn to the right, obviously. You're going to tell them that so that they don't do anything silly like...
Correct.
Okay. And the other thing is, did you talk to MoDOT about warning signs that there is an attraction? What does the state of Missouri do that tells people traveling at 65 miles an hour that there is a public attraction coming up and they need to slow down a little bit?
I can't answer that. I don't know. But we'll have our own signage there, whatever we are approved for as far as signage. And that spot, when you're northbound, you can see it for 2 miles. So it's not something you just kind of jumps up on. I mean, you can see that whole property, and you'll be able to see whatever signage we have there. It's like a 2 mile visibility there as you're coming up on it.
And so the only entrance is going to be off of that right hand lane.
Correct. That's the only access we have right now. Is on 65. Later, if MoDOT proceeds with putting a outer road in, then our access will be off that outer road.
Okay, up to the sketch again. Does your property begin where the lines are, or is that frontage? Who does that frontage land belong to?
Their property begins here.
Right there. Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
So that's public domain land. That's,
I think that's their easement.
For probably the easement for 65.
It's their easement. They already have a plan in place for an outer road, but it may be 20 years from now before they put it in. But that gives them the easement already for their outer road. So they already own that.
While you're setting this drawing, too, let me bring to your attention that once we hit more than 10 parking spaces, our code book does require continuous loops, so that parking will be configured a little bit different. But that's something that we'll handle and everything.
Just make sure that they meet code. Right.
And if you would go back to the overview picture, yeah, that it looks like the vegetation or the trees are on either side of the project, and that you've got kind of open land in there. Is that, am I reading that correctly?
I think that's a wintertime picture.
Okay.
It's very much wooded.
I think the dark green are probably cedars, and everything else is
hardwood. Okay.
Over here in the notes on the proposed site plan, it says location, elevation shown, structures, platforms, towers, zip lines, et cetera, are approximate to the final locations, and the elevations are to be determined by contractor performing the work. So if they don't set a height or something on how tall or what we can put in for the zip lines, then if he wants to do 300 feet tall over in any corner he wanted to, then he could do it, correct?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
And unless you specify that in this situation that he needs to adhere to the height ordinance, yes, ma'am. Because we would not issue a permit for pole. We would issue permits for his buildings and any platforms that exceeded 100 square feet. But other than that, we would not. It's just a pole. We would not issue a permit.
That tallest pole down there by the gift shop, the reason it's so much taller than the others is because it's kind of in a valley there. It's coming from up top here. It's got to be above the canopy in order for the people to land there. But it's in a valley, so it's not that much above the canopy, per se.
That's what you're doing on the side. Determined by contractor performing the work.
Yeah.
If he determines that he wants to call the pole.
Okay, gentlemen, any further questions? Is there a motion?
There were some concerns from the residents about light pollution. How are we addressing that?
We're going to use directional lighting and only light the platforms, the part that need to be lit for it to be safe.
Gentlemen, I don't know if you got to see it or not, but I did give Mrs. Kleinfelter a letter that was given to us by the gentleman that was here last Monday night, where he kind of goes back through these issues again. Just wanted to make sure to refresh your memory more, I think, than anything else. So if you want to review that real quick before, she does have that copy. We had some concerns about
sanitation and water supply, sewage treatment. So have you addressed those issues?
I mean, aren't those all handled with compliance letters from the fire service?
Right, that will have to be handled correctly.
And that's how
and everything. So, yeah, I mean, we're okay there. I mean, we'll make sure that that's in place before any building permits are ever issued. I think the only other thing that I could think about was that, you know, there was a concern there. They talked about creating some streams and stuff like that, and there was some concerns about you know, the amount of water used to start that and to maintain that kind of thing. But, you know, if they're digging their own well, commercial wells go into a different aquifer than residential wells. They don't normally, by using the commercial aquifer, you don't suck down the, you know, residential aquifer as a rule. I think the only other big concern we had was
you know, the site when you turn back out on the 65, being able to accelerate, you know, up to driving speed or anything like that. That was the concerns that a staff would raise, you know, without having any kind of deceleration lane or acceleration lane coming out of there. So.
Okay.
If this truly is a green project, I believe it is, I would love to see a 50-foot buffer rather than the standard 30-foot in order to protect the neighbors. And it looks like with your renderings that you have here, you're probably at that except for your pole barn.
Yeah, we've had no problem moving the pole barn. Yeah. I think that property there to the south is will eventually become commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely no problem except for on that south side, because moving it 50 feet, that right there, there's like it's a
ridge.
Yeah, it's a big hole. And so if we came in 50 feet, I don't know exactly what the distances are, because we don't have the exact, they haven't got the, on the survey, like that line exactly. So it might be fine, but 30 feet I know is, but the 50 feet, that extra 20 feet might actually, just on that one pole, might move it out.
Can you use a laser to show us where you're talking about?
Yeah.
Is this thing right?
He cannot, because we've moved in.
That's north.
We do not have
the. Is that it up there?
Yes, I'm sorry. It's a north side. I'm sorry.
It's the north side.
It's the north side. Yeah. My apologies.
Okay.
Is this where you're talking about?
Yeah. That pole right there is the only place where it might be an issue.
I'm moving in 50 feet.
30 feet I know is no problem. It's fine. 50 feet might actually make it to where we can't put that pole in at all.
What about
that? There's a waterway.
What
kind
of clearing around that pole would there be?
Minimal. We don't. The whole goal here is to.
How far around that pole do you clear?
We don't clear anything unless there's a limb or something coming through there. But like trees and things like that, there's definitely nothing behind it will be taken out at all. And if we take anything in front, it might be like a little tiny tree or something. But the whole goal here is to, you know, minimal impact. So. Like, as far as taking out a bunch of trees or big trees, and we won't be. And there's nothing to the north of that at all, because we wouldn't be going north of the line.
Well, where the residential is on the east side of your property, you won't have a problem with those poles being moved 50 feet?
I don't think they're 50. I think they're already 50 feet.
Yeah.
I think by the rendering that I was seeing,
hard to tell on that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think they are.
Well, I think if it was close.
But yeah, we have no
problem. Fine with that?
Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay, because that's where the residential is that we're worrying about right now. Also, on bathrooms, they're only going to be down in the
gift shop.
Parking
the gift
lot.
Shop. So there won't be any kind of restrooms or anything up top that we're having to worry about sewage up there. Okay.
Okay, any more questions? Or discussion. Sean, you're looking perplexed.
Well, I was just thinking about how we do need to have some kind of pole height limitation. I understand that they don't have their finals yet because they still have engineering work to do, but we do want to limit them so they don't have.
Sean, what's the longest poles that you have that y'all ship?
You got some pretty big ones.
120?
Bigger.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are used for transmission line stuff, but they're not going to be ziplining on the transmission lines, I hope.
When you install those, how much is above ground?
Huh?
When you install, say, a 140-foot pole, how far does it go in the ground?
15%.
And the height of your poles now is what?
Excuse me, could you say again? Pardon me?
The height of your poles,
the highest one we have down here on the south corner is 120 feet approximately.
So you believe everything will be under that 120?
Yes, sir. Most of them are quite a bit.
Most of them are what?
Most of them are a lot under 60 feet.
You'll catch any of us up there.
I was going to say.
And that 120 feet is an installed from ground to top of the pole. It doesn't include the amount that goes underground. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Okay.
The light, the hours of operation you all spoke of last week was 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yes, sir.
And that is a limiting factor. There wouldn't be an issue to make sure there weren't overnight parties. You've got lights. You're going to put them in for 2 hours worth of...
Well, there'll be dust. You know, we're going to be open March through December, so there'll be times during December when we'll need lights even at 6, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
So,
for 10 so 10 p.m. Yeah. Close time. To me, would be pretty reasonable.
The only, I just got back from a trip where I did a bunch of zip lines all over the place, and a lot of zip line companies and canopy tour companies offer a moonlight tour, and so they actually offer that between 10 o'clock and midnight. And it's like it's a perfect time to go. But again, these platforms, there'll be like very minimal light. It's just the area where they're clipping in. So there won't be light shining out on anybody else's property. So like nothing at all like the billboards and things that you see along the highway. So there's nothing like that as far as light and light pollution. And
most of that, because
they're having fun, right?
They are having fun. We
yeah,
definitely.
I don't think it'll be any louder than your traffic counts.
I mean, it's not like it's not like a real loud endeavor at all. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weird because you have to be on one, I guess, to be able to understand. But
so
people will yell, maybe. Yeah, but it's not like you can hear that for a long ways. You can't hear it from another platform even. So I don't know. I don't know what to say, but those. Being open at night is very important to us to be able to make it financially feasible to do this.
Well, from an economic development point of view and from an alternative entertainment venue, this is certainly a creative and interesting kind of project.
So you're asking for hours of operation from 8 a.m. to midnight?
I guess, yes, sir. Yeah. The last two were to end at midnight.
Last tour to go out at midnight.
No, and go out at 10. They'll be approximately 2 hours.
Okay.
Be finished at midnight.
So if you limited hours of operation.
That one concerns me. I mean, a lot of times we don't do this, but I think we need to in this case.
Okay. And you're talking about the height of the poles and the 50-foot buffer. Okay.
I think we need to limit the pole height.
What is the number we got?
So are you comfortable with the 120 foot limit?
I
wouldn't
be
go
next
up
to the highway, but I don't think
commercial
limit is back next to the 75. If they were to decide to go
75, we can improve higher.
I think that's going to throw the size away at higher.
Now, what is a sale?
Yeah, he has them on the plan here. It's 75, 75, and 80.
How tall is the cell tower?
I think
depends on the cell tower, but like the one you just approved over off with the older gentleman over off Fall Creek Road, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where it was, Dan?
Yeah.
Had the mobile homes, and it was 120 feet.
120, 125, something.
We have some up to 200.
We have one 250 over on that area.
You're right. I can't see
that. That was a model design.
If you see
them
120 feet in.
One over on 265 was approved.
Okay. Yeah. Is anybody ready to step forward and make a motion?
Or you can stay in your seat.
I'll make a motion that we approve the concept with these additions to it. I'll give it a shot anyway. A 50-foot landscape buffer along the east and south boundaries and a 30-foot landscape buffer along the north boundaries.
Hang on.
I will.
I got it.
50-foot on the east and south.
50-foot on the east and south, 30-foot on the north. our normal boundaries we have on the west side that looks minimal that are allowed for county. With 120-foot maximum pole height.
Is that anywhere on site?
Yeah. I don't see any other way to really separate it out, but it doesn't. With hours of operation from 8 a.m. to midnight, and I want to get a little more specific on the midnight tour, with that tour ending at midnight. Special consideration given to lighting and light trespass to neighbors.
Okay, so
directional
there,
lighting.
There are four codicils that you've added then, basically. Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Edwards seconds. Further discussion?
Do you want the hours of operation to be to midnight?
Every night?
Seven days a week, or do you want to do it to like a Friday, Saturday night?
I don't think so. I really generally like to put those on there anyway, but since they have lighting and it is close to residential, I'd want to limit that so there's not all night stuff. So
no, but I know. But if you want it to end earlier than on some nights.
No, that's too hard to.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion as made by Mr. Pinkleton with the four addendums to the decision of record, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So we'll get on to the next one, and this is Villa GIX. And again, remember, this is Complex 1. So do you have any new information, and you are Mr. Fisher, is that correct?
No, I'm still not Mr. Fisher.
Why is he the applicant, and you are then?
The representative.
Well, I'm the representative.
Okay.
/ builder, / neighbors, /
Okay. I know. I drove by there the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Mr. Fisher does a lot of traveling throughout the state of Missouri and also parts of Oklahoma doing what he is doing for business.
Okay.
That's how he generates his business.
Okay, and you are?
My name is Mike Giese.
Okay.
I'll be the builder.
Okay.
And the representative.
Okay. Now, the problem here was?
We're a tenth of an acre short of 2 acres.
A tenth of an acre short.
Uh-huh. Madam Chair, I'd like to open this up for some further discussion. Based on where we're at with this, the only thing that seemed to be a problem last meeting was that 1.9 acres. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt, I don't mean this was plotted, there's no doubt that this was plotted prior to planning and zoning. Otherwise it would have been 5 or 3 or 2.
My understanding is that these three lots, the one that's highlighted and the two just to the, I guess I'm going to call it to the east of it or to the right of it, right there, my house and then the house next to it, which no longer exists, those three lots were owned by the Hagees, by Art and Irma Hagee, and then they split them off so that Jamie could put his music studio and a sewing machine shop in what's now Villages. And then they sold the other to a gal by the name of Leona. I can't think of her last name right off the top of my head. But anyway, those three lots were divided by the Hagees and introduced up, as near as I can tell, 25 to 30 years ago.
Well, we talked about referring this case to the Board of Adjustments. This was plotted prior to us having the planning and zoning. That was a big issue with planning and zoning, and you've all heard me say this before. And I don't think we'd have planning and zoning if the commissioners at the last minute hadn't backed up and agreed to grandfather in those plots that was in development that had less than 5 acres at that time. That's what they were talking about. The grandfather those, and I think this one falls in that category. And rather than to refer this case over to Board of Adjustment. And then back here, I'd like to see us honor the commitment that was made back at that time and approve this. He's improved the sewer system. The sewer department will let you put the septic on less than 2 acres if there's already a septic there. All thing you got to do is destroy the old one and have 4 foot of dirt. Hurry.
And we do have that. We dug 6 foot test holes out there for the soil engineer.
He's improved the sewer system.
I discussed this with the county attorney. And what we have is a pre-existing non-conforming use. When this was platted, everything that's out there is legal. For us to expand on a pre-existing non-conforming use, as this board gives you the privilege to override your current codes, that's why we have a board of adjustment, so that when something like this comes up, he has the right to go to that board of adjustment, and you're not overriding your own codes. Pre-existing non-conforming, he can keep it that way until he changes it, and then when he does, he loses his grandfather.
Well, are we going to back up now and take the position that any lot that's less than 2 acres has to be approved by the Board of Adjustment?
If they want to do something,
if they're expanding on it, yes, sir. And you've done this in the past. I'll refer you back out to Ridgedale where you did the exact same thing.
But if they were just going to build a house on it.
If he was going to build a house and he can meet all the setbacks, we would honor that and everything. Since he has a business on here that was already there, as a matter of fact, this business existed before planning and zoning ever existed. So he is grandfathered in, and this has been several different businesses since then. Some of them greater density use than the ones that were there before, which really we probably should have brought back before you at that particular time. As these go in and they have more people and everything like that in them than say the music store did. But the discussion I had with the county attorney, he said we'll honor this as a pre-existing non-conforming use. When they begin to expand past what's allowable now, then they either have to get a variance from the Board of Adjustment or they have to keep it like that, because once they begin to change this, the grandfathering of that goes away.
So he doesn't want to honor the grandfather, what you're saying.
He can continue to operate just like he's operating.
I realize that.
But for to put a heavier density use on that, which this is quite a bit heavier density use, he says, you know, that will remove the grandfathering, and he just needs to get that variance.
Can we make a motion with the stipulation that we're in agreement with the concept and proposal, but we're shy of making the.
I can't speak for all of you. I think the general consensus was that there was nothing wrong with the project, other than the fact that for you to vote on it was going to cause you to violate or grant yourself a variance on your rules that you operate by. Therefore, the consensus was that to use the instrument that we have in place to grant that variance and have him come back. And I believe that he was of the opinion that if we did that. You would be favorable. Now, if you're not, we probably should let him know that up front.
Well, let's ask, Mike, if you have any new information, like have you acquired that one-tenth of an acre?
I have not acquired the one-tenth of an acre. It's going to be, marginally difficult to acquire that, because what we're asking is to take a tenth of an acre out of a corner of the Moores property, which they've had for ever and ever.
I understand that.
And then, of course, if we could get the board at the river to sell a tenth of an acre, I mean, that would make the most amount of sense, because it doesn't affect their property that much, other than it takes a little triangle out of their corner.
Okay, so
I was just trying to eliminate
an extra month.
I don't think there's any.
Come back here, because I'm sure the Board of Adjustment is going to approve it.
And I believe they will too, Mr. Edwards. And there's nobody here that's opposing this. It was posted and everything, just like everything else. The concern is that if you do go ahead and vote on that and violate your rules, and somebody wanted to contest it, then they would have to be thrown out. And the way I understand it,
the attorney wanted to eliminate the commitment made several years ago. But
even if you're changing the land use, which is what he's doing.
No, we're not changing the land use. We're just expanding. It's zone commercial.
It's a density change. I think we need to be consistent with what we've done in the past. Not that I disagree with you in principle, but it is different. And so
the process is we table his...
You can give him the opportunity to go to Board of Adjustment. You can table it until a certain date, and then you can vote
but,
to do that.
But our role would be to just table it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have any questions or concerns about it, I would make those known to him. When we've looked at it, it looks like everything will fit, and he did make the statement to you, that the piece of land that we're asking him to look at is uphill. It doesn't. No benefit. He can't use it for drainage. He can't use it for parking. He can't use it for anything. I understand. I sympathize with him.
Yeah.
But I mean, right from the very start, we told him this is going to be an issue that we're going to need to.
Eddie and I had the conversation, and quite honestly, I have already filed for application to the Board of Adjustment,
okay.
And I've got my.
It's a moot point. Okay. Will somebody please make a motion to table?
I'll make a motion that we table this until September 21st, 2009.
Okay.
Following the Board of Adjustment meeting.
And that's the date we figured would be the right date for next time.
Right.
Okay, is there a second? Okay. Further discussion?
Just for general purposes, I did meet with MoDOT this morning, and they are going to allow us to expand that entrance to 59 feet. And we are going to go ahead and proceed with that later this week once we get the engineer drawing done and sent into Jack up there at MoDOT.
Okay. I have one question about the septic tank. There was a little discussion about it last week. It's approved for how many people?
50 people. You should have a letter in your file according
and
to
you
that.
Have that letter? Because you're looking at 50 employees and then plus the...
It'd be 50 max.
His concern is that if you're going to have 50 employees, that you've also got daycare. Are you including the kids at the daycare and the daycare employees in that 50 number?
The daycare employees, yes. The kids, my understanding is the kids are going to be, most of it will be diaper changes as opposed to toiletry changes.
Yeah, there's always hand washing and everything that goes along with that. And But I believe it wouldn't be that big a deal to.
I don't think it's going to be a huge issue. I have gone to the health department and talked to the health department folks, and I do have the copy of their inspection reports and the things that they're going to require for that daycare.
And you are destroying the current septic system.
Yes, ma'am. We are going to destroy
it with the new one.
That's correct. We're going to destroy it, and we're going to go ahead and tie it into the new system.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. Ready? All those in favor of the motion to table this project until September 21st, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
But thank I would you. Like to see a letter stating.
Oh, well, the letter that I do have from Mace Engineering states that
letters in there.
Septic system for the proposed office expansion was designed for 50 employees. Taney County requires 25 gallons per day per employee. At 50 employees, total flow 1,250 gallons per day. So if you feel like it needs to be for 60, then I'm sure that's it's in the planning stages. It may just be a few more feet of lateral line or something like that. I don't know, but maybe something you want to have him bump it to 60 and see. And this may be sufficient for that. He may have just went to your bare minimum. So
okay.
I think that's
how many are supposed to be in the daycare total number.
It'll vary depending on who's employed and who's not. Mostly it's for the employees. It's a non-for-profit organization. They're not going to, it's not going to be a public daycare center per se. It'll probably vary anywhere from 5 to 10, anywhere from newborn to 4 years old.
You're probably talking with the employees and everything less than 10 then.
I'm going to say probably less than 10, yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, right now we've got 4 babies, and we'd have a director and maybe somebody to help her.
Okay.
So you're talking about maybe 6 people at that point. It could go as high as 10. It could go as low as, who knows? I mean, it really depends on Mother Nature.
Or there could be a population explosion.
We could have another baby boom.
I'd like to move on, if we could, then to the next phase. Thank you, gentlemen. I'd like to move on to the next phase, and this is the hearing of concepts to see their applicability to going through the process. So Susan's Bookkeeping, coming up here as a request for a special use permit. So you are Susan Burke. Okay. So where is the property, and what is your intended use?
1129 State Highway H.
at my home. It would be bookkeeping. I have a large circle drive, so there'd be good parking. Because of the privacy of people's paperwork, I'd only have one person at a time anyway. But I would also do computer instruction, and those things are all one-on-one. So there wouldn't be a problem as far as a quantity of people.
And you would be the only employee?
Yes.
They're providing the services?
Right.
This will come to you as a special use permit, home occupation. It's very specific about the number of employees, the amount of building that she can use, kind of signage, everything like that. We have walked through that, I believe, with Ms. Burke, and she does understand. I think this she could have one, I think it was one or two more employees, I can't remember, but our section in the code book on it is very specific, and that is how it is coming to you.
And I don't see that you have very many close neighbors.
No.
Nobody across the street, nobody very close on either
spread
side
out.
Of the property. Yeah.
Yeah.
The house next door.
Yeah, that's the closest one.
Mm-hmm. It says on-site computer instruction.
Where I would go to the person's computer.
Okay, it says on-site and off-site computer instruction.
Right. They could also, if they just need some basic instruction, they could come to my home at the office.
And that would be a maximum of one person at a time. And I'm asking
right.
a question from a parking issue.
Right. Yeah. I still only do one-on-one.
Okay. I don't see any problem with it at all, so we'll see you the second Monday in September. Do you know what date that is?
September
14th?
Should be.
Okay, and then the next item, because Bucherhaller Upgrade has withdrawn, and I'm somewhat disappointed because that was going to be so much fun to deal with. But the next one is Wilderness Club at Big Cedar Expansion.
Yes, indeed.
This is not a special use permit.
Division 3 house. And we have some overheads to help us. I don't know if we can see.
Can you bring up the bigger version of that?
Well, we can talk. We can talk through some of that. To remind you, I'm Brian Wade, and I represent Blue Green Big Cedar, the group that is going to develop the area. The first sketch is just to help orient you to the location of the development, and. Number one is the existing Big Cedar Resort, which is to your south.
There's a laser pointer there somewhere, Brian.
No, there is a weird because of the move. We've lost
the laser.
Dan's got his arrow there. He can point.
Dan's got a pretty good idea where it is. He's pointing to the existing Big Cedar Wilderness area that has been approved by the commission. That's the sort of orangey chartreuse, maybe. The proposed new development is the chartreuse, the yellow development. That's the 109-acre parcel that we're proposing to be developed. And we also identified a couple of other properties that are being developed. It's hard to see, but to the south of the number is the Long Creek facility that you've already approved here on the Dan up the arrow up there you're close back there you're on it. That's Long Creek. But I think top of the rock, the golf course is furthest to the east, about the center of the drawing. So that sort of tells you the overall plan, the location of various developments and the new development where we're proposing. The next drawing gives you an idea of the size and scope of the development. It also shows you the development, how insulated it is and buffered. You can see that mostly it surrounds undeveloped property or
some commercial property. To the west is some residential. Mostly to the north, there's commercial type development, which is further enhanced by the next, the third drawing. And we've identified for you the adjacent landowners. And you can see in the green, the landowner there is the current developer, so no issues there. To the east and to the north is College of the Ozarks, and that's undeveloped property that they own. To the...
Pardon me just a second, I did find a laser.
Oh!
That would help a lot.
Corner, but in terms of shoot you in the eye.
I can take the time off.
Okay, there we go. College of the Ozarks, as I referenced. And then in the orangey color there is our individual landowners. But as you can see from the highlighted area, it's mostly undeveloped. And the white rooftops are mostly commercial development down toward the lake.
Commercial meaning what is the
well
nature?
Businesses or something related to the dock area, the dock areas to the south.
Okay, is that
or north?
Graham Clark Drive.
It is. There's some residential over here, certainly.
I mean,
sure, but
a lot of those are houses through there.
Right here.
Yeah.
Well, you can see this is undeveloped here,
and
this is fairly sparse.
Eddie, what you've given us and what we're looking at there, as far as the northern portion that goes down to Graham Clark Drive, those don't match.
They did make some changes that I believe we got today. Is that correct?
So I just want to make sure which one we're looking at is
right.
The right one.
Go with this because this is what we got today.
What does it match?
There's, I can show you that just to make sure that because it would make a difference. I'm at least on what my question was.
Damn.
They're showing this jutting out here instead of window here.
What is the width of your buffer down there that you've got illustrated? On your Table Rock Lakeside here?
I believe your buffer is 30 feet.
30 there? And what is this area here?
That is proposed open space.
Right next to that residence.
And I think you're referring to the next and lost man.
I just asked Dan to bring this up so they can see the actual houses that are out there.
Okay.
Right in this little piece.
And this one is given, we'll have to get to the area, but.
I don't want to mislead the commission suggesting there aren't any houses out there. There are. Mm-hmm.
And I believe the question was here along Graham Clark, and that's what you would see there.
So there we go.
So, and then if you can toggle between that and the last slide you have. Then
please. Okay, go back to...
To that one, yes, sir.
Okay.
There's also...
Not that far.
A unique... RV lot out here with individual owners who have RV pads. They're not there, but there are some owners of property within the 600-foot area of notification. And I think that notice is going out or will go out for the public hearing or has gone out.
It goes out after this. Yes.
The next drawing, I think, was alluded to. The land use diagram, and the yellow portions are the area of timeshare development that we're proposing. And the TS2 area location is going to be developed first.
And where is that?
That's to your
that you have the pointer
north
the
and
pointer.
West.
Use your pointer. Use your pointer. There you
here,
go.
Somebody put right there. And that will consist of a lodge, which we're going to show you a picture of a representative type lodge and some representative type cabins and an amenity in that area. And the rest of the development will develop as market conditions dictate. I would suggest that given the market conditions for the existing club that you've already approved, they're moving relatively quickly. There's a great deal of interest, as there should be. It's a neat development. It's high quality construction, and there's a lot of interest in the area. You have also approved here where I'm pointing a bowling alley, an amenity that's already gone through for some commercial development here to the south. Look to the next drawing. We wanted to show you what we propose with respect to some of the infrastructure. We've already gone to the Taney County Road and Bridge Department and the Taney County Sewer Department and have attached those letters of approval to our application. So we've already handled that process. But this gives you an idea of what the infrastructure we think will look like, so you will know. We've also, and it's too small to identify, but we've also addressed the Taney County policy scoring on the right-hand side of the drawing to sort of assist you in what we think or how we've addressed those scoring notes in terms of our development. And so we kept those issues firmly in mind when developing this property so that we would be in compliance with your absolute and relative conditions. That includes the density and all those issues that the buffering and the right-of-way and all those issues that you routinely take up when you consider these applications.
Mr. Wade?
Yes,
sir. You and I may have already discussed this, I'm not sure, but I'm on this chart I'm looking at, it lists units. Do you know if they have in mind how many buildings they might do in each section?
We have identified the number of units per breakout.
620.
Yes, and we've got a breakout of the expansion average. The gross density is 5.68 per acre. Mm-hmm. And then we've further broken that out for you on
I was just looking for number of buildings.
Well, the reason that it's not broken out per building is I referenced the lodge.
Yes, sir.
Which is going to have more units in it than, say, a cabin would have.
Yes, sir.
So there's a difference there between those. So when we come for the building permits, we're going to have to address that issue for you before the
permits. And I don't know if they'll be concerned, if you're just concerned with units or if you want to know approximate number of buildings also. But
we thought that issue would be better addressed as market conditions dictate. If the lodge is a tremendous opportunity, or if the particular customers aren't that interested in the lodge and they prefer the cabins, that may change the direction of how those units build out.
Question for you,
yes.
Because it looks like you're doubling the size of the Big Cedar Resort. This is a large amount of land.
Yes.
And you're asking us to approve, if I'm correct, that the only actual development that you have on the immediate horizon is T, whatever it is, S12 or TS2 or
two.
That section. Okay. So you are asking us to approve all of the land.
It will all
that
be
is in yellow.
Yes. Well,
how do we do that? I mean, do we give you a blanket approval that would mean basically build anything you want on that land?
No, only those things that we've identified in our application. If you look at the second drawing, or you can use one more,
okay.
Dan.
Which one?
This one.
Okay.
This is the total area of the development application. And this is the area where we propose to improve. And it's all going to be the same. as TS2 or 3 or 4.
Okay, then
we wanted to break out for you the density in those particular locations.
Okay. But you are asking us to approve this project on good faith that you will, in fact, do replicate TS2 on the other. In other words, if we take the number of units that you have there of land, which looks like 6 units, times, and you said 615 units on TS-12, we're looking at over 3,000 units of...
No, the total units was 600. Was it? The total units for the project was 620.
No, the total units for TS-2 is 600.
No,
TS-2 is 110.
Right.
Okay, so where did I fall off the wagon in this information?
If you look at the fourth drawing...
Okay. So TS2 is only 90.
There we go.
There it is.
Okay. Then I withdraw my question. I think.
Okay. So you're not taking it on good faith. If we change the proposal, we have to come back to you.
I know you do.
Okay.
And I know you're well aware of our height restrictions.
Yes.
That probably goes without saying, but for the record, I know you're well aware.
But the I haven't worn the high
state. Yeah, I've got a couple of concerns.
We didn't get to look at that. So.
And TS1 and TS3 especially.
Yes.
Those are very close. Well, especially TS3. TS1 is very close to lots that are planted, but no current buildings. But TS3 is right against a home that is not similar in scale or bulk to what's there.
To the east. Okay.
And that I just wanted to point out that TS3 is definitely a concern to me on what you're going to do there. I would really like to see a general layout for that area especially. I'm firmly against building a 4 or 5 foot building right next to a two-story house.
We're proposing
a 4 or 5 story building.
No, we are proposing a 30-foot buffer.
Yeah, that's
around TS3. Around the entire area.
If it's a 70-foot building, though, and a 30-foot buffer, that's still towering over the top of your house.
So what would you like to see again?
I'm curious as to how the layout is, especially right there. I understand that you want to be able to move things around, but there's an existing house right up against that, and I know there's a 30-foot buffer, but, man... That spot concern.
You're talking about this structure here?
Yes.
We'll take a look at that.
The density on TS3 is
60.
Yeah. It's 3.3 per acre, right? I mean, that's
a pretty low density compared to the others.
I
don't know if we have a drawing.
I'm most concerned about
height.
Bulk and scale. That's where I'm really concerned.
Okay.
Ryan?
Yes.
Would you like me to answer that?
Sure.
Hi.
My name's Ed Lindquist. I'm the land planner for the project. Uh-huh. And along the TS3 zone that you see on the plan, that's an area where we have some slopes that are a little bit steeper than the rest of the project. And so what we're planning on putting on those on that land is units that are cabins that are one story, or maybe a treehouse type product.
So it's
one story, and what we want to do is kind of pull them apart and have it be kind of low density and kind of snuggle them in amongst the trees and things.
If we were specific in anything that we may talk about later on,
yeah,
that wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, that's our plan, just for two reasons, the slopes, and then we are sensitive to what's adjacent to us as far as the neighbors. So that's our plan.
Me personally, that's the area that concerned me more than the others.
Yes, sir.
Because it wouldn't blend in quite as well with what you may do.
Right.
On the rest of
it. You're probably familiar with the larger lodge buildings that are out there now. Mm-hmm. This would be almost like single little units that would be placed in amongst the trees.
Okay. That clarifies that a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
So if I hear you correctly, you're concerned, if there were single unit or double units, that would satisfy your concern?
That to me, that more fits into building bulk and scale. I mean, what my concern was, compared to what we see now, what they have.
Understood. You know.
Mr. Wade, are there any accommodations made for pedestrian travel throughout this development?
In terms of runners, joggers, walkways, walk paths, they're going to be paths and walkways to the respective lodges, but I don't think specifically there are walking trails that are designated inside the development.
Is the 30-foot buffer you have proposed here a natural, or is that planted?
There will be some plantings in certain areas, and some areas will be natural. It's wooded, natural area. But there are also some plantings proposed as well.
Mr. Preston, if I can get some clarification on your question, are you asking like to get from point A to point B, from building to building and everything, so that people don't walk on the roads, or are you talking similar
to Camp Kennicott, where the complaints are that the campers populate the neighborhoods by walking up and down the county roads,
right.
I would want to make sure that there were some accommodations made in this development where there's the ability to walk around in the beautiful scenery other than on it being on the roads that the surrounding neighbors travel on a daily basis, so that there's no animosity like we currently have.
Sure. Now, that's why I just want to make sure. You weren't looking for green space trails and stuff like that. You were looking more for ability to ambulate from one.
We fully intend to have walkway and accessible areas for the persons who use the facility, the lodge or the cabins or whatever's built. Absolutely, to go from parking lot to roadway. Yes, we just don't have any designated running trails or. I guess that's what I thought your question was.
Well, it sort of is. My concern is that. When people come, this is a vacation spot that you're building here.
Right.
When people come to vacation, I know when I go somewhere, the first night I like to walk around and see what are my surroundings. And my concern is that there are other places in the county where people do the exact same thing, and it causes grief for the surrounding neighborhoods because our roads, as you probably well know, are narrow roads without any shoulders. And then when you have people that are not used to the area and not knowing the amount of people that travel on certain roads, and my concern is safety. And if as you look at this, I would encourage that you make maximum use of the area for recreational walking versus getting the bags from the car to the unit.
As you can see from this drawing, and I think it may show up. Let's see. If you go to the next, go back one, Dan. Thank you. You can see that we're already taking into consideration some of the road access areas and delivery of the folks to the locations that they want to go to. And the open space, the green spaces that we've identified there are potentially going to be amenities as well. So we hope that the road system will be a way to direct the customers to the appropriate location. Then there'll be some areas that will... direct them internally also to the commercial areas to the south.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned the bowling alley to the far southeast that's already been approved.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that we're certainly, it would not be smart of us to develop this in a way that would limit those folks who stay by precluding their ability to ambulate, you know, to the south or locations where they could park easily and move in and out of development. So that's certainly not, I think you'll find when it's done that you're going to be pleased with how we're trying to keep them in the resort as opposed to going outside the resort, which I think would address your concerns
right.
about the safety as opposed to someone parking on, you know, some outer road and walking around the outer edge, which might cause a safety issue.
Okay.
So we hope to...
Yeah. From an operations standpoint, you're exactly right. Everybody walks on that campus currently. We have a shuttle system 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so we've got the shuttle system, but with the beauty of the Ozarks, walking trails are an important deal. And just to give you an update, based on that experience on a state drive going down into the development, we've added trails to connect Big Cedar Lodge and the Wilderness Club to keep people off of a state drive, and we've done the same on McMean, that we've got trails and in between the lodge buildings. But you're exactly right, walking is a big part of what the experience is on that.
And would you please identify yourself?
Howard Kitchen.
Okay, Howard.
I'm the general manager of the operation.
Are there any of those roads public roads to the residential? Do people that live to the west of Big Cedar have to drive through any part of the development?
No, I don't believe they have to drive through any part of the development.
Have to, but do they?
It's possible that they do. We hope that they come to the development because they want to or partake in some amenity. But it is possible, and that's why we have are proposing a modification to McMean Drive, which goes to, and you can see in the red, the blue area is the existing McMean Drive, which at some point during the development of this project we're going to propose to vacate, which means we'll have to go to the county commission and obtain the approvals for that vacation. All the property owners who will be affected by that will be given notice. It will be like another hearing to vacate the roads. And then we propose to construct this road in accordance with Taney County road standards and direct the traffic down further to the south. We've already run this by Mr. Preston at County Road and Bridge, and we've gotten his blessing and his letter of approval, which is attached to the application. So we think this is going to be beneficial to everyone who uses McMean Drive. It's going to be an improvement to McMean, we think, and more efficient use of traffic or conduit for traffic. And then the next drawing shows you the, I think it's a comparison drawing. There you go. It's a little hard to see, but the to your left is the existing topographical drawing of McMean, and then to the right compares the proposed condition of the road.
Mr. Wade, does Big Cedar own all the proposed property at this present time?
Well, the property is owned by the applicant, which is Big Cedar LP and Three Johns Company, which is the same people.
And then basically that this section of McMean then is almost
that is on the current development. Most of the improvements are on the existing development. And that improvement may come sometime later in the as the property develops. But of course the trigger to that will of course be the vacation of the existing road, which will create some requirements for us to complete that process.
Take us back to the general overview. I got a couple more questions. Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to take you back up to that same corner I was asking about before.
T3.
One other thing that came up. I know you have the 30-foot landscape buffer, and this. I'm really thinking back on when these questions have came up before in public hearing. You've got folks on vacation. You know, they're down here having a great time and all that, but they don't know where they go when they step out and go to the north, and I think some folks, especially to your north, are going to be concerned about vacationers showing up in their backyard without a fence. I would ask that question, not about the whole thing, but especially right there where there's that current residential. I know you've got the 30-foot buffer.
Here?
Yeah. Or to the... Well, to over farther, continue to your east there.
This way?
Yeah, where all those homes are right there.
Right here?
Yeah, that portion. To restrict pedestrian. You know, they're just on vacation. They don't know where they're going to end up. They don't know there's homes there, maybe. And I'm sure that question is going to come up. And I don't know. I think probably what we're looking at, there's a landscape buffer and 30 feet.
I haven't seen the terrain. Is it? What kind of terrain is it?
It's pretty steep. It's 15 to 20% grade, and it's wooded right now.
Okay. That would be something.
So with the setback, the 30-foot setback in the house, how far in terms of distance are we talking about from those houses? 50 feet, 60 feet, 100 feet?
It could be as little as 30 and as much as 50 or 60.
10 steps to somebody else's property. Anybody else in here is above that? it's 30 yards or 10 yards. So,
I mean, okay.
You know, 30 sounds bigger, but 10 steps. So, and my other question is, I know this came up last time when we did the Wilderness Club stuff, and it's, I'm sure the concern is going to come up again, is with that boat ramp. I just remember something about a boat ramp and the...
Oakmont.
Right?
We are meeting with the Oakmont board tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Okay, so hopefully you can...
Hopefully we'll know if they have concerns. Hopefully we'll know about those.
I know y'all can't control everything that your guests do, but when they bring that there, and that is for the Oakmont folks, and then they show up and they can't even park their own things there because there's somebody from Oklahoma and Texas and whatever, I wouldn't be very happy about it either. So
we're going to talk to them tomorrow.
Okay. That's good. Two questions I had.
And are those all of your slides? And
No, we had some final slides,
okay.
Dan.
The pictures?
Of the representative type structure.
Sure.
This is a lodge type structure that you might see out there on one of the yellow highlighted
this would be development like areas. T2 area.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Dan, go ahead. That's an interior shot if one of you would like to stay for the evening. Mm-hmm. You can see it's a lovely depiction of the bedroom area. This is a cabin type product. And this is another lodge view. Again, a lodge view. So we're very excited about it. We think it's going to be a great addition to the Big Cedar development. And we hope that you'll allow us to proceed forward.
Build out time estimate. Are we looking
at 10 years? Again, it's going to depend on the market conditions and how much interest there is. We think there's enough interest out there right now to start the project. I've heard 10-year build-out discussions. But again, that was a discussion that occurred with the existing proposal that you've approved. And I think that's on a more expedited timeline now. So it could be much sooner.
Now, I understand that the public hearing date is a conflict date with you for personal reasons.
It is my 10-year anniversary, and I'm going to be out of the country on September 14th.
14th, right.
And I was...
Don't forget when your anniversary is.
Right. I was curious if it was possible if the public hearing could be held on September 21st.
No.
But
certainly with the phalanx of people who have come from the organization, that perhaps three or four of them could come as the representative for the project.
There will be a number of people available to speak. So I guess the person that's going to make that decision is above our pay grade, so we'll probably and let them decide that. But if we cannot... move it. I'm not asking to move it right now, but if we were to ask to move it, it would go to the next month.
Sir. From this date, you could actually extend it out 120 days, according to our code book. So what they're doing is telling you that instead of moving it to a regular meeting like this one is, it would have to go into the public hearing because there's a procedure there from when the regular meeting, I mean, the public hearing's over, then the vote has to come up at a certain time.
Right.
And you would put us in a situation where we couldn't do our code book as it has to be within that week period of time.
We still would have to vote
the following month, yeah.
So it would basically push it back
basically.
30 days.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate it. And if I heard the questions correctly tonight, the issue with the T3 area is something we need to examine.
It's a concern of mine. I don't know about the rest of the commission, but that was a concern.
Can I ask one question there just so y'all might think about this? Would you be then possibly entertaining some kind of a wire fence or something like that? I'm not saying barbed wire, but something along those couple areas there where it's closed, just so people would know that. You have the electrical concession down there?
Yeah. Oh, taser.
Just so they can think about that is what I'm saying.
All I was getting is with the 30-foot buffer, just something that keeps people from wandering where they really shouldn't be. And I don't think you want them wandering where they shouldn't be on something that's 20% grade anyway. I'm just trying to look ahead as to what, that was my house, what my concern would be. So.
Okay.
All of the pond-looking things are stormwater runoff catch basins or retention basins?
They're late, but I suspect that they'll be dual purpose for that. And again, there are amenities included in those pool, other things that are being considered for those open spaces.
Well, happy anniversary. And we look forward to seeing somebody.
If I'm here on September 14th, you know it's bad news.
Got it. Thank you all. Okay? Now, I hate to ask this question.
No. Is there anything I can answer for you? Do you have any questions of me?
Is your move official and done?
No, we are moving. We still we're unpacking boxes. That's why a lot of stuff's kind of helped skelter tonight. We do have some new furniture coming in a couple weeks. And I would recommend, if you want to see the whole finished project in about 2 or 3 weeks, you come by and visit with us. It is a nice facility. I think it's going to work out very well for us, so we do appreciate
it. Will you have cake?
We can set up a time when we can. Any brand name in particular?
Just cake.
Okay. What do you cook?
But I would suggest what we try to do is maybe once we get the furniture, maybe next month before our meeting, we can have you come over there about 6 or so. We can have cake. Y'all can clean it up, and then we can come on over. Yes, but no, I have no
other business with them.
Yeah. I could come over and help us unpack right now.
No, we need to find
out. Got to go. Working tonight.
Huh? No. Okay. I believe somebody has made the motion.
Yep, for the good done.
Meeting is adjourned.
Click a button.
Got it.
Wasn't too bad.
You got to hear the
phone call. 8:25. Get home before the Cardinal game.
I didn't know it doesn't start until 9.